Welcome to the Bailiwick Express podcast. This is The Interview, one in a series of podcasts where we at the Bailiwick Express speak to members of our community about events, personal stories, politics, current events or charitable initiatives. Thank you for joining us.
My name is Annie Ashmead and I'm the Deputy CEO at Citizens Advice Guernsey.
That Citizens Advice Guernsey does and has done for a few years now is collating data around social policies.
Yeah, and these social policies can vary from year to year. It's basically decided at the beginning of each calendar year, the advisors get together and having noted the number of inquiries we've had from various clients throughout the year, we'll say, oh, we're getting an increasing amount to do with access to affordable housing, or we've had increasing numbers of guest workers who've come to us with problems. And so that becomes a social policy. So when we have any other clients coming in who may fit that particular social policy category, that is highlighted within the case sheet. So when we come to do our research, we can just extract all the information related to those cases that have been highlighted as a social policy issue.
Okay, yeah. So by tracking these potential trends, you identify the trends and you can focus resources, research. How do you use the data that you're collating?
Well, what we do then is, because we have a research and campaigns team, and say, for example, we've got someone who is going to be looking at the access to affordable housing category for all the cases from last year. And what they will do is they will read all the cases, all anonymised, so it's all anonymised data, but they'll read the cases and see what are the trends, what have been the main issues that people have brought up. Is it because they've lost their job? Or is it because their relationship has broken down? Is it because the landlord wants to sell? That kind of thing. They'll look at what the trends are and the numbers who have experienced those problems. And then what we do is it's put together in a report, which is then sent to the relevant States Committee members for them to help inform them, if they're making policy, they need to know what are the actual issues that are being faced by islanders. And although we don't see every single islander, we represent a snapshot of what is happening in the island. Because for the numbers we get, we probably see about 9% of households will use our services at some point during the year, which is not an insignificant number. So I think we offer a useful snapshot, or we could actually say it's almost like the tip of the iceberg. So if we sort of say, these are the issues that are being faced by our clients, something needs to be done about it.
And do you find that, so you're saying 9% of households, may come for help during the course of a year. Would I be right in saying and thinking that people might wait before they ask for help? You know, things are really getting to crisis point for some people. Or are people more sensible than I would be, and do they ask for help sooner?
I think what we have noted, and I think this is probably with the rise of the fact as more and more people are becoming a lot more computer literate and they access Google and they can find a lot of information online, is yes, we do. The numbers of clients we are getting, it tends to be increasingly complex problems when, yes, they are at a crisis point, when there's just too much going on. Mm. We do get some who come to us with, relatively straightforward problems that we can just signpost on, go there or try that. Yeah. But others come with really quite complex problems because it may be their relationship has broken down, they've lost their job, they've got to find somewhere to live, they still want to see their children. What are they going to do? So we try and offer as much help and support as we can.
Yeah, because in those situations, it's prioritising and just tackling, I guess, one thing at a time. Yeah. But looking at the data then that's been collated during 2023 by Citizens Advice, we're going to have to start with housing, I think, because it is the largest area by number of cases, number of inquiries, isn't it? And actually, as you said, you feed this data into the relevant states committees that deal with that sector. Mm. But actually, data that you've collated here has fed into a new charity that's being launched to tackle homelessness, which is only one part of the housing sector, isn't it? So we can see actually where this data is being used already, which is very must be gratifying for your team to see their work paying off Yeah, hopefully.
Absolutely. Well, straight actually, away. From the beginning, after Alex Lemon had finished her really amazing report that she did, you know, that was supported by Maison Saint-Pierre, they then set up the housing support forum with all sort of interested parties taking, you know, participating, like, and we were invited to attend. So we've been along to all the housing support forum meetings, and that's included also. They have the was it probation officers or people from the prison, Action for Children, the Guernsey Welfare Service. There was the Guernsey Caring for Ex-Offenders. I'm probably going to miss quite a few, but there were quite a large number of charitable third sector organisations, plus state departments as well, like the housing department and everything, who would come along to the support forum, and we would find out what's happening. And where possible, we would present, give data, anonymised, obviously, anonymised data, to forwarded it to the rest of the housing support forum, so people could see the scale of the problem. Because as I said, not everyone would automatically come to us. You know, if they're experiencing homelessness, they may have gone to, they may have, you know, contacted Action for Children directly. They may. So we are just offering a snapshot, but it does present some useful data.
So through Citizens Advice Guernsey and data you've collected, what is the scale of the situation? Whereby people are coming to you for help regards housing, what numbers and issues?
Well, I would say facing? The issue of homelessness, looking at homelessness itself, that is definitely on the rise.
Right.
And compared to going back, I was just looking at figures back from 2018. We're seeing double the number of clients with a homelessness issue, last year compared to 2022, there was a 30% increase. And as I said, we are just offering like the tip of the iceberg. Mm. So if we're seeing that number of people, more people coming, there must be others. And it is largely, I would say, hidden homeless.
Yeah.
You know. You don't, because you don't often see people sleeping rough. I know there are people who do. But you read in the paper about people who've recently left the, left prison, for example, who, you know, try and commit a crime so they can go back again because they've got nowhere to go. And that's just heartbreaking. And as I say, about half the clients who we would say, oh, they are either homeless or at risk of becoming homeless, they are perhaps currently in private rental properties. The landlord may have wanted, you know, said, oh, I want to put the rent up, they can't afford that. So maybe, or the landlord wants to sell, gives them a notice of eviction, so that, and where can they go? It's just, it's a really, really challenging situation. Now, certainly when we present our findings to the state's committees, what we also do is, offer, you know, offer suggestions. We sort of give potential solutions or that may actually help with some of the problem. It's not going to help all, but it could be something. And actually, it's quite gratifying to see that some of the suggestions we have made are actually in the Guernsey Housing Plan, which was devised for, which is that I think is supposed to be action at any time. You know, I don't know if you've read the Guernsey Housing Plan.
I've read parts of it at times.
Yes, but their mission is to that everyone in the Berwick should have access to affordable, safe, energy efficient housing. And certainly a vision that we share as well. That'd be absolutely fantastic if people could have access to, if everyone was able to live, have a roof over their heads and feel secure where they were living and could afford it.
Yeah.
And for example, within in the Guernsey Housing Plan, they include the initiative that is has been going on for years in the UK, like the Rent-A-Room Scheme. I don't know if you've heard of the Rent-A-Room Scheme, but it's a offers tax breaks to people who are able to let out a room to somebody. Now, this is not going to be the long-term solution for many people, but it may be a short-term solution for some people. So to get them off the housing list, you know, for, you know, if they have to move out suddenly, they can find somewhere to live that could be home for them for a period of time at an affordable rent. And one of the great pluses about it is those buildings are already built because it's in someone's house. Things like that. There have been quite a few suggestions that we have made, that possible options, looking around the world, different options that people use around the world. And, you know, there's co-housing and home sharing. There's quite a few alternative ideas that other jurisdictions use to try and address the housing crisis. And I think actually, rather than just thinking of one solution, like, oh, we just need to build hundreds of one bedroom units, think outside the box, think a bit more. What about building units that can be shared by other people?
Mm-hmm.
But for example, in London, they have there's a charity called I think they're a rich charity, but they're a not for profit landlord called Hyam, and they specifically let out shared accommodation.
Yeah.
But each has their own room, but shared accommodation for 18 to 35 year olds living in London.
Okay.
And it's for people who can't afford to rent on the private market by themselves, and they don't need to pay a deposit. The only criteria is that they're actually working. I think they have to actually be earning the London living wage, but they can't be earning so much that they could actually afford to have their own flat. And they also actually have specified that I think it's about 65% of their units are for key workers' accommodation. But it's the idea that you can actually live, share a flat with other people. You may not know them at the beginning, but you'll know them by the end. They could become...
Yeah.
And social isolation is such a big problem.
Mm.
So imagine when you're young, it's fun to share accommodation.
And then you know what you want out of where you're going
yes.
to live. Because although we're going to hear a lot about homelessness through the new charity launch and those initiatives, which hopefully will get the support they need to really make a difference, the clients that are coming to Citizens Advice to make inquiries, it's not all about homelessness, is it?
Oh,
it's
no.
It's affordable housing. I'm guessing it's finding it, paying for it, affording it.
Yes.
There must just be so many reasons why people who don't consider themselves at risk of homelessness
have issues
anyway.
Yes.
Just because you've got a roof over your head doesn't mean the issues have stopped.
Yes. For housing conditions, for a start.
Okay.
They might be perfectly happy where they're living, but there's, I know it's inevitable with some of the older properties, damp and mould. Guernsey properties are known for being perhaps a little bit damp. But there are things you can do to try and mitigate that a bit, like if you're sort of letting fresh air circulate. But there are certainly some units of accommodation that are in quite an appalling condition. And what I don't understand is why landlords would not maintain their properties.
Mm.
Because to maintain your property, you're maintaining the value of your property as well.
Protecting your investment.
Yes, exactly. But we do have people coming to us who live in probably quite poorly maintained properties.
Okay.
But their concern is that if they actually do, because there's no, the housing law which is being worked on is not actually in law yet. It's not actually been in force yet, but it's been drafted, and that includes things like property conditions. But there is the fear that if you then, say for instance, you call the environmental agency and look, can you come and see my property? I've told the landlord about it, but it seems to be that it's really damp. And if they come round and then say, I'm sorry, this is not fit for human habitation, and say this place is going to have to close, where is that person then going to go?
Yeah.
So I can understand people may be reluctant to do anything about it if the landlord is not doing anything about it. So that can be a problem for quite a number of our clients, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just because you close the door on your own property at the end of the day doesn't mean your problems are over, does it?
No.
I mean, and looking at the other service areas, there must be a lot of crossover then between people coming to Citizens Advice for help around housing issues that must also be asking for help along all these other social policy areas.
Like, for example, like with guest workers.
Yes.
Because quite a number of guest workers, without actually looking at our report, which we've nearly finished on guest workers, quite a number of them will come over here to work and will have accommodation provided for them through their job.
Yeah.
Now, If, say for example, there is a problem at work, maybe they may not actually get on with who they're working with, or they may not get on with their boss, or they may find they're actually they're not happy with their job, or something happens that causes them to lose their job.
Yeah.
And it's their accommodation is connected to the job. What happens then? So then there's a real quandary. So you may get instances where people would perhaps stay in their place of work simply because they don't want to lose their accommodation. Yeah. So that can be an issue as well.
Yeah, and I mean, guest workers made up, a sizable chunk actually of the number of inquiries made, say that would come from guest workers. Actually, looking at your statistics, consumer rights was the second largest area.
Because there are a lot of categories within consumer rights, because you have a whole one devoted to cars. Building, service providers, travel and holidays, energy companies. So it does cover a very, very wide range of different consumer areas. Though very broad brush strokes, just looking at the raw data from last year, what I did notice is the number, because in the previous year, when we actually submitted our, presented our report on consumer rights, this was prior to the law coming into force, there were more inquiries relating to builders and construction.
Right.
That has actually gone down a bit in 2023. So that's is a good sign. It's gone down compared to the previous year. Obviously, this is just the raw data.
Yeah.
I haven't actually analysed it in full. The biggies tend to be ones like people who have bought used cars. And we would always say exercise caution when you buy a used car. You know, get someone to look at, to look over it just to make sure it is, mechanically sound.
Yeah.
Get someone you trust to look at it. Because the new law, although it's now in force, it doesn't cover private sales.
Okay.
Yeah. And things like, we've had quite a number of inquiries about energy companies.
Okay.
I think specifically, it's been more with issues around paying the bills and trying to contact, trying to actually contact the accounts department or things like that.
Yeah.
Rather than, we do have a social policy for rising energy costs, but as yet there haven't been that many, I wouldn't say there have been that many clients who've come to us who've said, I'm struggling because my bills have suddenly gone up. They've come to us because they're struggling because the bills they've had, they haven't been able to pay. And debts and things are ensuing as a result. So when we have clients who come to us who have been struggling to pay, and it's probably not just their energy bills, it's probably their credit card bills,
everything
mounts up. We would then actually, providing they want this, set them up with a money advisor. So a money advisor who will be a dedicated, in effect, caseworker who will help that client. They'll look at the client's debts and try to manage, to arrange some, give them how best to budget what they've got, what are the absolute the things that they must pay, things that. Yeah, and negotiating with creditors as well, saying, this client can't afford to pay £100 per month, but they can pay £25 per month.
And so the money advisors that are employed here at Citizens Advice can work as a case worker with these individuals that are coming for help. So again, it comes back to, you need to ask for the help because it's here.
What happens with money advisors who are all, as with our advisors, they're all volunteers.
Yes, they are.
The money advisor, all of them, they do an absolutely fantastic job. The money advisors, they have, there's a dedicated day when a client comes and we think, that they always come through the generalist advice service first.
Yeah.
So they are then referred to a money advisor. So if someone comes to us and it's clear that actually money advice would be really, really useful for them, we would then set up a meeting and we'd make an appointment in the diary for them to actually meet with a money advisor. Prior to that, we ask them to actually go through all their, get as much information as they can in preparation for this meeting about all their outgoings and, you know, and all the debts that they have and things like that, so that the money advisor can hopefully be able to work out something for them after that first meeting. And sometimes it can go on for quite a long period of time, because of course they're trying to pay off their debts. So some clients, they can have clients months, even years.
Because Guernsey is an expensive place to live, even when you don't factor the housing costs into it. It's expensive.
Yes.
Just living.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels expensive to wake up in the morning and breathe, doesn't it? We all know the costs of living over here. So it's not surprising that you must have many people coming through the doors asking for help in that way. Yeah. But a lot of it comes down to advice around budgeting and, you know, how to manage debts and get, I guess, taking back control.
Yes. Yeah, because when you feel you're in control, then it's psychologically you feel so much better as well.
Yeah.
Because like if you've just got a whole load of debts and you just can't see a way out of it, if someone is able to sit with you and say, look, we'll get in touch with this creditor, we'll negotiate a better repayment plan for you. And then they feel they're actually beginning to take control of their lives and get their lives back on track. And once you actually see them through the whole process, and that is where they get their real satisfaction from, actually. The money advisors have said, the advisors too, there is such satisfaction in knowing that you've actually helped somebody.
Yeah. I bet. So, if we go back to the data then.
Yeah.
So, rising energy costs is a new social policy area.
It's a new social policy.
That the team are looking at.
Yeah, it's a new social policy area. As I say, we haven't actually come across many clients as yet who are specifically said it's a rising energy cost that's a problem. The problem has been maybe trying to contact their energy company and everything. However, I do know both of the energy companies we have. It's Guernsey Energy, which is the gas company, isn't it? Guernsey Energy and Guernsey Electricity. I recently had another meeting with the Guernsey Electricity. They are very, very they want to help their customers.
Yeah.
And so they do have, that if you feel that you need extra help and support, you can contact them. And they are very willing to listen. Because they don't want to cut anybody off.
No,
they want to help as much as you help their customers be able to manage their bills and I know with Guernsey Energy they also have a priority care for customers as well. So, but then again, it's a matter of do the people who are working there know about these different things to be able to advise customers.
They need to know. There's an issue so that they can help as well at their end, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because these companies are sending out bills and expecting payment back in return, they don't know why an individual might not have paid their bill.
If they're told,
again, they're happy to offer help through some advice or directly as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's important. If anyone is struggling, contact the energy company. Let them know. Because they can't, unless you tell them, they can't know what the problem is. I'd also say one thing we have noticed for some clients, not all clients are very computer savvy.
Yeah.
Not all clients necessarily have access to the internet. There are still some that don't really do anything online. And in this increasing digitalised world where actually if you can only make payments online, you're really, you're cutting off a swathe of people.
Yeah.
And we saw recently on but they're actually no longer accepting checks. And there are some people amongst the older age group who still prefer to pay by check, but don't have access to the internet. So how are they supposed to make payments? It can be very, very challenging for some people.
You've been listening to a Bailiwick Express podcast. If you like what you heard, please share, like, and subscribe so we at Bailiwick can continue to pull apart the stories that affect you, the listener. Thank you for joining us.